Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We made this.
Welcome back, everyone, to You Have Been Watching, a podcast all about British sitcoms and British comedy only on the We Made This podcast network. I am Tony Black, one of your regular two hosts, and I'm joined by my lord, Robert Turnbull, Duke Robert Turnbull, unless you want a different royal title, Rob.
I'd been just King. Isn't that the best king? One?
Well, I was hoping for King. So, like,
you could be queen.
Can I?
Wake right, up, we're heroes.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Well, yes, and our royal nomenclature is for the fact that we're going to be talking today in a shorter main episode than we normally would about the Channel 4 sitcom The Windsors, specifically the coronation special, because obviously we're recording this around 2 or 3 days after the coronation of King Charles III in the UK, which is quite a big deal for the country generally. And the Windsors decided on the, I think it was the Sunday afterwards. It might have actually been the same day. I'm not quite sure. One of the days anyway, this last weekend, to do an episode about their own coronation. And the Windsors, I'm assuming you've watched the show or some of the show. I haven't actually watched all of the show, but it is essentially a piss take of the royal family, barring one or two people specifically who aren't in there. And the fun of it is that it's a bunch of actors riffing on all of the main royal characters, particularly Harry Enfield as now King Charles. So, yeah, we thought this would be quite a fun one to do, Rob, because whether you like the royals or not, it's a big moment, the coronation, and for a sitcom to actually expressly take the piss out of it, I think is worth us talking about.
Yeah, We all want to be part of history.
Well, that's one way of putting it, yeah. What did you make of all this coronation stuff then? Are you much of a royalist?
No, not in the slightest. I'm not especially an abolitionist, but I think like a lot of people, I'm ambivalent towards the royal family. I used to find the Queen fascinating from a historical standpoint, but post, you know, the Queen, most recent Queen, I have no interest whatsoever. So I had zero shits to give about the coronation. How about yourself?
Fair enough. I mean, I'm not a royalist in any stretch of the imagination, but I'm equally not a Republican in any stretch of the imagination either. I find them all quite fascinating. I find these kind of events, I have been a bit back and forth on some of this stuff. Like, I was a bit of a misery guts with the Jubilee last year, which I kind of regret a little bit. And, you know, I was going to say I enjoyed the Queen's funeral a lot more. That's a bit grim. But I found it more interesting. And this in itself, I mean, the coronation itself is full of absolute batshit stuff, you know, batshit stuff that is, you know, I went into quite a lot of detail on it with Carl Sweeney on the Discourse podcast, which I also host. And we did a whole episode about the coronation, the ceremony and things like this. And one of the points I made on there was that Twitter was just full of absolute gold on that day. Just people tweeting and putting out things, you know, just taking the piss out of various aspects. So many pictures of like, I think it was like Bridget Nielsen in Red Sonja as Penny Mordaunt holding the sword. Stuff like that. It's absolutely brilliant. So I think on that basis alone, like, there's so much with these kind of big ceremonies to mock, really, because they're so weird. They're so weird.
They are weird. And it's like, and there's, you know, there's a reason that they're weird. It's, you know, there's like archaic things that have been done for, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years. It's like,
yeah,
it's some weird shit.
Really weird shit. I just wish, like, the BBC would drop that kind of thing in their commentary, you know, like Hugh Edwards going, and now it's time for some weird shit.
I don't understand. I'm from Wales. We don't do any of this over there.
Like I say, it is ripe for mockery. Hence the Windsors, which in itself is one big royal piss take. I mean, how much of the Windsors have you watched, Rob, in the past? And crucially, how much do you like or dislike this show?
So I've watched all of the Windsors.
Okay. You're doing better than me.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure people know that, you know, we do a lot of planning on this, believe it or not, for this show.
Mm.
And when we first
doesn't show
the idea,
but we sure, do it.
When we first sort of talked about doing the Windsors, I was like, okay, well, I've not watched it, so I basically just blitzed it. You know, over a few evenings, I watched the whole thing just so that I had it locked in case we sort of like, you know, like, right, let's record tomorrow, one of those sort of things.
Mm.
I fucking despise it.
I knew that was what you were going to say.
Honestly, I can't even describe. We have watched and researched some shows for this podcast that you know, of things that we haven't enjoyed or we've not been fans of, you know, but stuff that we can appreciate or at least take something from. This is fucking shit. I'm almost angry that I have watched this. I hate it.
It's my fault, isn't it? Because I suggested we do this for this reason.
It was a good suggestion.
Because the coronation was coming.
It's not your fault, Tony. It's not your fault. It's okay. Their fault for being shit. It's not your fault. No, honestly, I mean, I know we're not going to spend hours and hours talking about this, and I'm glad, because I actually genuinely have very little worth to say about it. But how about you? Had you watched it before, or did you enjoy it? Or
no, I hadn't watched it before. I'd seen clips of it, you know, and I'd seen adverts for it and things like this, but and I was trying to think about whether or not there have been many shows that have actually done this in terms of comedies that have expressly mocked the royal family in this way, and I can't really think of many others that, or any others really, that have done this exactly and taken the actual characters, the actual real royals, and turn them into comic characters. I can't think, you know, the only other places I've kind of seen this sort of thing is on things like Spitting Image, really, or you know, satire things like that. I haven't actually seen it done in a sitcom form. So
yeah,
on that basis,
I think there was an animated sitcom a couple of years ago.
If I
can't remember, I could be misremembering, but I'm sure there was an animated sitcom a couple of years ago. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't think there's been, I think there have been a few pilots over the years, but I don't think there's been an actual kind of, you know, wasn't there a show where it was like the Queen living in a council house? Or was that a kid's novel?
That rings a bell. I don't know.
Yeah,
listeners,
I can't remember.
You might be able to furnish us with those details, actually, because I can't remember that either for sure.
No, I should have done some research. I was just traumatised having watched so much of The Windsor that I couldn't bring myself to it.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch all of it, I'll be honest. So I'm even more of a bad co-host, because I said, let's do The Windsors, Rob, and then you sat through the lot. And I got about four or five episodes in. I know. I got about four or five episodes in and gave up. Not because I hated it, because I actually did find parts of it funny. But I did struggle a bit, and I did find that it was really quite base and repetitive. You know, when it's at its best, I guess it's a bit, it reminded me a bit of like the Zucker Brothers kind of comedy, a bit Naked Gun in a way. When it's at its best, not nearly as good as that, but it had that sort of slightly hyper realistic satire joke ratio going on. But at the same time, a lot of it was, it didn't quite work a lot of the time. I think it does and it doesn't. And I mean, I haven't, like I said, I haven't seen subsequent seasons. And I know there are characters like Princess Anne, who pops up in some of the later ones. And she really did make me laugh in the coronation episode. You know, she was very funny. So there might well, and you know, Matthew Cottle as Edward is good value. I mean, he's funny.
He's great. I think he's a slightly underappreciated. Okay, so you know what? And let me just, I will backtrack ever so slightly from my decryment of his shitness. Genuinely a really, really good cast. Like a very, very good cast of very funny actors. But that kind, for me, it doesn't make up for it. It doesn't make up for it. It's so like,
well, mainly just about the cast, really.
Yeah.
Genuinely, because like some of them are quite obvious. Like Hugh Skinner, who plays Wills, his main shtick is the way he pronounces words. You know, it's that kind of that kind of thing, which is funny, but it's
funny once. It's
yeah, exactly. It's
God,
it's funny
totally
once.
So it's so bad.
What, every time. Yeah, it's like, but
every
then on the flip side.
Like that. It's just like, oh, God.
But on the flip side, though, I don't find, say, Ellie White as Beatrice unfunny. Like, I thought she's doing similar, but she's I find her consistently really funny. I mean, in this new one, she's. She actually pronounces words like that in a really sort of strung out way, and it actually really made me laugh.
This is sort of a thing for me. It's like I think that Ellie White and actually Ellie White and Celeste Dring together, they are remarkably likable as a little duo there. I just don't find that over exaggeration funny. I know what you mean. Like the performance of it is great, and the way that. She just pronounces words like that.
Words.
It's like,
yeah.
But I don't find it. I don't find any of it funny.
It is. But I get that because I think it. That's where it's really hit and miss because a lot of it depends. A lot of the actual constructed comedy of it isn't very good, really.
No.
A lot of that isn't particularly funny in terms of the actual plots and things like this. You know, they ring out. I mean, the whole joke about Kate being Roma is like wrung out to death. And it wasn't even a particularly funny joke in the first place. But like they just double down on that stuff.
And
you know,
the problem is in. I mean, I know you only watched a few episodes. Like throughout the main sort of three series of it, apart from the fact that they keep calling her Gypsy, which does grate a little bit. I mean, different people are less or more sensitive about the use of that. Term, it does grate a little bit, but it's also just not fun. Again, it's that the initial gag of you know, oh, because yeah, you know, because Kate Middleton is a working, you know, she's a poor person, she's not a rich person, even though her parents were fucking millionaires and stuff. It's like, so
that's why I don't understand the joke, because her parents were super wealthy.
It's this thing, isn't it? It's like they're taking it to the most extreme, the most hilarious extreme. Or what's more extreme? What's the most common commoner you could possibly be? Oh, a gypsy. And that in itself is quite offensive as a joke.
Yeah.
I think the thing is like the comedy of it, there is no, and I'm talking about the whole series, but especially in this special, there is no actual satire. There is no satire. The show has no teeth and it also has no guts. It doesn't go for anything. And the comedy is just the lowest hanging. It's not even low hanging fruit. It's like it's fruit that has fallen on the ground and rotten for like 2 weeks. It is just, it's the most obvious. But because it's the guy. This is the thing. It's the guys who made Star Stories, which is a show that I also don't like. But Star Stories at least had its own like a sense of. Verisimilitude to it, in that Star Stories was lampooning those kind of Hello magazines. So it's this big sort of, you know, I don't know, did you watch Star Stories at all? Or
no, it rings a bell. I think I might have watched one or two.
It's
actually.
It's not great. It's exactly the same style of comedy as this, but it was like an anthology. So it's like the same actors. Each episode, they were different celebrity stories, and it might be Elton John. It might be. Princess Di or whatever it might be, but it was all kind of like celebrities, you know, Peter Andre episode, that kind of thing. It was exactly the same kind of comedy as this, But although I didn't find it particularly funny, it worked because the context was this is lampooning Hello Magazine and that kind of thing. With this series, it was sort of promoted as being a sort of a soap opera, you know, a comedy soap opera about the royals. But it doesn't work because it's not like our soap operas. Our soap operas over in the UK here, there it's EastEnders and it's Coronation Street and, you know, maybe at a push you might say Hollyoaks. But this is more like the style of the telenovela, or maybe the kind of you know, American Sunset Bay kind of stuff. So it doesn't fit the idea of it being a soap opera parody with these characters. It's just this bizarre, heightened, super. It's fucking shit.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a good examination of it, actually, because I think that's exactly what it is. It's like you get things like Pippa is obviously like a man eater. She's like a femme fatale, and whenever she walks in, you get this little thing on the soundtrack, as if to signify that she's, you know, sexy and evil. You know, it's that kind of telegraphing that is part of the stylistic idea behind it, and I suppose it's quite inventive, and they are going for a certain stylistic approach with this, which is fair play, you know. But I think what they don't have, you know, in terms of the actual scripts by George Jeffrey and Bert Tyler Moore, they don't have, I think, the underpinning of really good joke writing to actually sell the farce. Because I mean, that, you know, that it is satirical farce ultimately, and it's playing into a lot of the stereotypes. You know, it's playing into like the whole idea that at the wedding, Will and Kate's wedding, it was all about Pippa's arse. So there's loads of jokes about Pippa having a great arse. There's, you know, I mean, Harry Enfield is doing the classic caricature of Prince Charles, you know, doing
it's
all that
very
kind of.
I
think it's quite a good impression, really, but it is a very Harry Enfield. Yeah, but it is a very, very Harry Enfield caricature impression, you know, impersonation. And then, you know, I mean, I think personally the best person in it and the best character is probably Hayden Gwynn as Camilla, because she plays Camilla as like an evil supervillain trying to plot and take over the royal family, which I think is a joke that has mileage, and I think she is very good in that kind of, you know, sinister Camilla role. And again, playing into the idea that people think that Camilla's like secretly like devilish compared to Diana, you know.
This is kind of the part of the problem as well for me, though. It's like I agree, she's, I know I've said it already, but like the cast are brilliant. And actually, I think I would almost go as far as to say that the female cast in this in particular are very, very good.
I think they're better, yeah. They're overall.
Yeah. Katie Wicks didn't make it into the special, but Katie Wicks.
She's always good.
I have like the biggest crush on Katie Wicks.
She's great.
It's like
she's great
insane.
In Stafflet's Flats, which is a major role for her. She's even one of the best things I think about Ted Lasso this season as well.
I didn't even know she's in it. It's like there is nothing Katie Wicks does that she isn't outstanding in.
She's very good.
I love her, absolutely. And she's great in this as most of the cast are. And Morgana Robinson, I love Morgana Robinson again. She is
good as Pippa.
She's really, really good. But I think that the show. It's almost gets embarrassing when especially when you get into the second and the third series, that how much they've overestimated the staying power of Pippa Middleton, nobody gives a shit about her anymore. That one day, a bunch of horny middle-aged men.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Saw someone, it's like, oh, she's a little bit fuckable. And it's like, nobody cares anymore.
No. But that first season, though, was that just before Meghan Markle came on the scene?
So this is, again, the thing I think about, that it has no teeth and no real satire to it, is that in the second series, Meghan comes in and they basically portray her as being a sort of a slightly ditzy actress from America. You know, yeah. she wears jeans and t-shirts and stuff. And again, it's very, very low-hanging satire. But the one sort of running joke that they have with her, which is quite funny in the first series, is that she constantly talks about the TV show Suits.
Right, okay. That's quite a good joke.
Nobody knows who she is. She's just this woman who was in a TV show that nobody in the UK watched. So the fact that she keeps it, she's in my show Suits. I was in my, like on my TV show Suits. And that's sort of funny. But then by the third series, it's almost like the writers realised that she was having this massive pushback by the press. And you know, this was all sort of as all the Meghan stuff started to blow up in the right-wing arsehole cunty press. And
that's the official name for
that's
it.
That's what it's called. That is, yes. Yeah. That is what it's called. And so they kind of they sort of flip round on her character, and they kind of stop satirising her. And they basically make her a sort of a slightly Gwyneth Paltrow Hollywood hippie type.
Right.
And again,
okay.
It's like it's cowardly, really. Because I think it's important to remember, we talk about the royal family. It's important to remember that, yes, our press have hounded Meghan and what's his name? Harry. And they've been treated appallingly by certain sectors of the press over here. But two things can be true at once. So the press can have treated them terribly, but they can also be a pair of assholes. And I think that they are terrible people. I don't think that they're like nice, cute, lovely people. I think that they probably are awful. She is probably awful. And the press is awful. So those two things can be true at the same time. So she's deserving of satire. Have some satire. Make fun of what she's doing. Like, that's fine because, you know, she's a terrible person. I have some... maybe I shouldn't say this. I have some connections to the royal household and I have some information.
Of course you do.
I honestly, straight up, I do. I've been made aware of things and reasons for arguments and splits within the royal family, which I... Yeah.
You daren't talk about it lest they put you in the tower.
I honestly would not say it, but they're mostly all bastards is all you need to know.
Well, I wonder if I could convince you to talk about this on Extra Laughs, because that's a way to get people to subscribe, isn't it? Find out some dirt on the royal family. The real reason
the real reason that Harry hates his brother on Extra Laughs.
Well, I mean, Harry's portrayed in a very sort of... I think that joke as well isn't a particularly good one. The idea that he's thick as pig shit, you know, all the way through.
No, it doesn't work.
I don't think that joke particularly works either, really. But I think it's a really mixed bag of a show in many ways. What do we think then about the actual coronation special? Because this obviously, I think, was filmed relatively recently, because there are references to things like Harry's book in there, and that only came out at the end of 2022. So I think this was quite recently, probably written as close as possible to filming for this that they could get away with in order to cram in some fairly contemporary jokes. So what did you think? Did this, because this is obviously a new episode, it's the first episode for a while, I think, of this show. Was this better? Did this fit the coronation festivities for you?
No, and the couple.
I knew you were going to say that as well.
Couple of reasons for it. One is, I think Bert Tyler Moore was it? He died. No, sorry, George Jeffries, I think, died.
Oh, did he?
One of the writers died.
Oh shit.
I apologize for forgetting which one it is. That's not because I hate the show. George Jeffries. I thought he was George Jeffries. Yeah.
What a shame.
So that is sad. I didn't hate the show that much, but he died, and genuinely, as much as I hated the three series, I don't think this is as well written in terms of the pacing and the gag rate. Because although the gags in the main series I don't find them funny, and they're obvious and they're cheap, and like I keep saying, they've got no teeth. There's no satire, but this just didn't have that gag rate that the main series had. It's kind of slow, and they don't drop enough jokes in. whether funny or not. And it's just way too long. It's just,
it is too long.
It was way too long.
45 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was just too. It was just too much. Too much.
The central gag as well is that they because of the cost of living crisis, they're having to sort of slim down the coronation. So they decide to book a crappy sort of hotel conference room in Slough, which is, you know, just some crap. That in itself is a funny idea. If you can buy into the idea that this is a hyper real world, you know, it's a funny concept in a way.
But the problem with that joke, though, and this is having watched, God damn it, all the other episodes, is that they do that joke a lot. And it's fine because obviously the show is made on the cheap. And if you properly look at it, you realise that everything happens in small, cheap-looking rooms.
That's true.
And that's okay. That in itself can be funny. But they have, throughout the main series, they have several plot lines that involve doing a big state thing in a shitty little room. So it was it just felt like the same thing. But my biggest problem, and I promise I will shut up about it after this main thing, but my biggest problem, which I felt was really prominent in this special, and I don't know whether you felt this as well, and I did feel it in the main series, but in this special it really sort of rung home, is that actually, you know, when I watch a satire, I want to see these characters punctured. I want to see them, you know, torn down to a degree, or at least examined to a degree. But all of the characterizations in this show, all of the characterizations are a really, it's sort of like a friendly, middle-aged, white Telegraph reader's interpretation of the royal family. So Charles is basically an all right bloke.
Yeah.
And William is a nice guy who wants to try and modernize the royal family. And because Kate is really sweet and trying her best. And Camilla is an evil, cigarette-smoking hag. And Pippa, well, she's sexy, so she's up for it, so she's obviously hot. It's like the most... It's really it's almost like towing the line. It's like there's no satire, I feel like it almost has too much reverence for these people, showing them as being these sort of lovable, you know, lovable rogues almost, instead of being arseholes. Because William isn't a lovable, nice guy who wants to modernise the royal family. You know,
And I think that's becoming more apparent as time goes on, actually, in some of the things that are starting to come out a little bit. And the more Harry talks, the more I think that's going to become apparent, really.
I get
what you're saying. I mean, in a way, it's weird it's not on the BBC, because you could imagine the BBC doing that fairly sanitised version. Given it's on Channel 4, you think it would skewer them a bit more, wouldn't you, really?
Because
Channel 4
pisses me off.
Aren't afraid to do this kind of thing. I mean, you know, it's strange, really, that because I get what you mean. It is quite soft-natured.
They didn't even bother with Andrew in this one. I think it's in the third series. They do a little bit of poking at Andrew, but even then, in the third series, they kind of portray Andrew as being a slightly nice, misunderstood. It's like, I don't know if you saw Kieran's thing earlier in the year. He did the Prince Andrew musical. Kieran Holden, sorry.
No, I didn't see that.
See, that was really good, and that had some oomph to it. And in this, the moment when they started singing at one point in this, I just, like, my skin nearly fell off through cringe. It was like, what are you doing? Somebody else has, or Kieran Holden has done this better already. Don't even go there. I know it was a gag and they stopped it, but... Oh, sorry, Tony, this has been...
No. that's okay.
It's been an emotional one.
I didn't think it was brilliant either, to be honest. I thought it was firmly sort of okay, you know. It was okay. And that's how I feel about the whole show, really.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I think I enjoyed it a bit more than you, but I haven't seen all of it, obviously. I think had I watched 20 episodes of it, I'd be thoroughly fed up of it, because I watched about five and I felt like I was done.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew what it was.
Yes.
And I thought, I don't think watching another 15 of these is going to really make much of a difference, to be honest. So well done for you for actually getting through all of it. I would say to anyone who has listened to this who hasn't seen all of the Windsors, my advice is, if you want a sitcom about the royal family, go and watch The Royal Family with with Caroline Ahern and Craig Cash and all those guys and Ricky Tomlinson, because that's a much better, you know, sitcom with that title. I think I think it's, you know, I think it's going to be carrying on. You know, they're doing the fourth season apparently come in. Uh-huh. I think I can imagine this being popular amongst people because it is relatively lowest common denominator kind of stuff, it really. Is. You know, it's fairly, it's very easy. The jokes are very easy. I can see it being popular for that very basic satire, but it does at least have a really good cast. People who actually are probably better than a lot of the material they have here.
Oh, God. You know, I mean, I would really recommend anybody to like go on IMDb, look at this show, scroll down to the cast, and then just watch literally anything else that these actors have been in.
Yeah.
And genuinely, they're like, oh, it is worth noting, sorry, that you may not have noticed this. So Richard Goulding, who played Harry, he played Harry in the first two series, but he wasn't in the third series.
Okay.
They had a different actor. What's his name? Tom Durant Pritchard, who was a much sexier Harry. And a slightly less dozy Harry, but I did actually prefer Richard Goulding, and I was quite glad to see him back in this. But yeah, it's not everyone in it has done better things. So go and watch some of the other stuff that they've done. It just feels like propaganda. That's the word I was looking for. It actually feels like pro royal propaganda
from Channel 4. Who would have known? How they hang their heads in shame.
Fuck me, Rishi in this was almost a nice guy. They showed him as being basically competent and trying to get the royal family in line. And apart from right at the very end when he has one little gag of like, don't ask me about paying my taxes or whatever, it's like, no, how fucking dare you, Channel 4, present Rishi Sunak as not being a massive cunt? Sorry.
He was played, though. I think his casting was quite good. He was played by the guy who was in the last series of Happy Valley. And he played in that a nasty piece of work in the end. I good casting. But yes, I completely agree. Absolutely agree.
That actually offended me how competent and nice they made him. Like,
well, don't worry, Rob. He won't be in the job in a year. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. the Legal Royals,
Charles,
however,
with his health, let's be honest.
Well, we'll see. The Royals, however, probably aren't going anywhere. But This has just been a quick chat, really, about the Windsors. There isn't a vast amount to say. We thought we'd cover it in line with the coronation. So that's basically it, really. We're gonna come back soon. We are gonna come back soon for more chunkier episodes. You know, we've got plenty of things planned. It's just finding the time has been quite tricky in recent months, and over the summer it's quite a busy period. So bear with us. We do have stuff going on Extra Laughs as well. We are squeezing in smaller episodes of those as well. So if you want to subscribe and join us for You Have Been Watching Extra Laughs, details will be in the show notes. You find some examples of Extra Laughs on our main feed. So do go and have a listen to those to see what you'd be getting. It's a small price a month, and we've got a few subscribers right now, and that's great. So please do join us for that, because we are talking some fun stuff in there. And you can find the show generally at on Linktree at linktr.ee/ You Have Been Watching, and you'll find links to all the places we're on: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So please do give us a follow on any of those, and a rating on Apple would be even nicer if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star rating review. That'd be lovely. And you can find me at also on Linktree at linktr.ee/AJBlackWriter. You'll find links to what I'm doing. What about you, Rob? Where are you hanging?
I am hanging on hanging outside the Tower of London. See the gibbet.
Yes, you will be if you say any more.
Best place, or outside Channel 4, really. I won't get employed again. Best place to find me is always Twitter, where I am at Fordukts, which is FORDUCKS. Whatever I'm working on, I promote it out there, and I pimp it out there. And I also get very angry about politics, so if you enjoyed my ranting today, check out my Twitter feed. It's more of the same.
Very good. Yeah, it's full of unfiltered Rob on there, so it's very good.
Yeah,
Rob,
this was unfiltered, believe it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks guys for listening anyway. As always, we appreciate you, and we will be back soon for more comedy. But until then, you have been listening to Tony Black
and Robert Turnbull.
And because we're a pair of paupers, we're going to go and hang out with some jopsers. See you again.
Do you like crime stories, books, and people talking about those things? Then you should check out the Red and Buried podcast.
A murder.
Oh.
I'm Frankie.
And I'm Sarah.
And in each episode, we pick a different theme and surprise and delight each other with a cheeky little review.
As you started reading, I was like, this sounds like a romance novel. And then you got to monstrous crime.
Yay, there it is. That's what we're here for, isn't it?
We're also regularly visited by many talented and best-selling authors, including the likes of Chris Whittaker, Elizabeth Haynes, Emma Stonex, Fiona Cummins, and a whole lot more.
I obviously listened to the podcast, and I listened to you interviewing Chris Whittaker, and I thought, oh, hey, that sounds like a really good fun podcast.
If you like your crime books with a big side of silly, this is the podcast for you. Listen to the Red and Buried podcast right now, brought to you by the We Made This Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.